Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you now. Time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Club Auth or Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video slots, sports betting through Points Bet, great food, craft beers throughout Chicagoland. And they can now be patronized regularly by Craig Council. Take that, Milwaukee.
Oh, boy.
Here is Shea W., Fly the W, Norland.
Good morning, boys. Cap, you can wave that flag today with Craig Council hired, huh?
Oh, it's so good. So good. And to hear all these people up in Milwaukee, he's not that good now. You suck, Cap. Your show sucks. Okay.
If he's not that good, why are they so mad about losing him?
Exactly. I tweeted last night as I was going to sleep. I tweeted, hey, Brewers fans, as you lay your head on the pillow tonight, just remember, your guy is now our guy. Fly the W. Take that.
Hoodie, good morning. How are you? Good to see you after your vacation.
Yes, it's good to be seen.
That guy's working hard. Hoodie's working, man.
Don't worry about the mule. Just load the wagon. Don't worry about it, pal.
That's exactly right.
That's how we do it around here, as you well know.
Where'd you get that line? Because we use that all the time. Tell the player, oh, we got to practice again today. We play. Don't worry. Just... load the way.
Bob Hood, Arkansas.
There you go.
That's where that came from.
That's it.
Don't worry about it.
I got it from my dad. There you go.
So that's where that comes from. I'm great, Shay. I'm glad that you're feeling better. I heard that you were sick.
Under the weather, yeah.
Yeah, of Cap. So it's really good that you were able to get a day and back at it today. Now, we don't have the verbose one here, so we got at least Shay. We don't have Gone with the Wind working this morning.
Oh, my God. No. Kevin Seabeck does a wonderful job when he fills it.
We don't have God with the Wind here.
A little offside.
Oh, my God. That's 10 yards. Come on.
All right. I'll pay the fine. He likes it, though, because he likes to get the
personal
attention.
Personal foul. He likes it. Roughing the producer. 15-yard penalty. First down.
Guys.
I'm out on the field.
Guys, it's 8:02, and I'll tell you how the watch was made. Excuse me? Just give me the goddamn question.
He does have a little news radio quality to him.
Tell him, Cap.
So, guys, 8:02, Jason Lockenfora yesterday talked about the coaching situation.
Yes, exactly. My God. I didn't ask you to give me the news. Just give me the question. Just give me the shot or no shot. So, Gone with the Wind, not here today.
Let me tell you about the viscosity of the clouds before I tell you the weather.
He's sucky, right, man. He's funny.
Take that, Kevin.
I like to have those pipes, if you pardon the expression. Here's Shay Norling.
All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot. Jason Lockenfora did talk yesterday about the coaching situation in New England, saying the writing is on the wall. At the end of the season, Belichick and the Patriots will no longer be a partnership. Lockenfora then added, Belichick's interested in two teams, Washington and the Chicago Bears. Belichick will likely not be making personnel decisions at his next stop, if there is one. So shot or no shot, the Bears should bring in Belichick to be the head coach of this football team.
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. That'll be all. That'll be all. I told you where I want him to coach. I told you. I want him in Navy. I think he'd be phenomenal.
He's not going in Navy. He wants to set the record for wins all time.
He'll never reach it. Sorry.
Someone's going to hire him.
Fine. He'll never reach it.
How many wins is he away, Shay?
100. I have to double check, but I think it's still like 14.
Oh, he's going somewhere. He's getting that record. They'll wheel him to the sideline if they have to.
Oh, they're going to wheel him out, huh? Like Grandpa.
Head coach in his 93rd season, Bill Belichick.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so first of all, he's not one of the top
17 wins away.
He's not one of the top five coaches of all time. I'm talking college or pro football.
Okay.
He's not. Is he a great coach? Yeah, he's got 7 Super Bowls. He's also 81-96 lifetime when Tom Brady doesn't start for him. 81-96.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason why Phil Jackson didn't take the Denver Nugget job.
Or the Grizzly job when they went after him.
Or the next head coaching job.
I'm leaving Chicago where I had Michael Scotty, Horace Rodman, all these dudes that could shoot, John Paxson. All right, I'll take the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, that makes him smart.
Yes.
I would have done the same. I ain't got nothing to prove.
Correct. Let's see. You guys are leaving that station. You're going where there's a tin can and a string, or you want to go to a 50,000-watt blowtorch? Okay. It's a pretty easy decision.
I don't know, Jaymar. I think 1700's doing well lately, aren't they? Old Navy Channel? 1700?
Yeah, I would tell you. That is a no shot. I don't need Bill Belichick here. I don't. Absolutely not. First of all, is he coming without personnel control?
That's the hope.
You would have to. I don't think anybody's given him the hands of the general manager role again.
Yeah, I am not bringing him in. What is he, 72?
Yeah, I mean, he still knows football, but...
It's not the age thing at all. I'm not an ageist. He just... No, I don't need that. I don't.
So that's a no shot for me as well. Shay.
All right, the Cubs did poach Craig Counsell from the Brewers yesterday, and that might... just lay out a blueprint for the Bears in their coaching search.
Bears.
Listen, the NFL provides an avenue to acquire coaches from other teams, even if they're under control via contract, because you can trade for them. We saw it with Sean Payton. Started bad, but hey, watch out. The Broncos have won a few games in a row. We know that the Bucs did this with John Gruden. They won a Super Bowl. And we know the Patriots did it with Bill Belichick, trading for him from the Jets, and we know the history there. There are names out there that could be trade options at head coach this offseason, including Sean McVay, Mike Vrabel, maybe Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, the Bears should trade for a proven head coach rather than roll the dice on a hot name.
Depending on what I have to give up, like I'm not willing to give up, you know, this year's first round pick from the Panthers for one, no. But if the package is reasonable, and I can get a proven commodity, Sean McVay, Mike Vrabel, who's awesome, they're coming here? Yeah, sign me up.
To trade for one?
Shot. It, depending on the package. Look, if it's all about money, all right, we're going to have to write a check for $20 million to that team. You're going to have to give him $10 million a year, whatever. That's, your franchise is worth north of $5 billion. Get your stadium built. You're going to be worth north of $8 or $9 billion. Don't tell me you can't afford it. You can. Now, if you want the Panthers pick, mm-hmm. that's off the table.
That's fair to say.
Yeah.
That's fair. And it all depends on who it is, too. So you're right about that. Vrabel, I'm not sure that he'd be high on my list.
Really?
I'm not sure.
He's a hell of a coach.
Let's go through it, Shay, just very briefly. Let's go through it. Okay. So did he start with Ryan Tannehill as his main quarterback?
I think
with,
so.
With Tennessee?
Yeah, no, I thought he had somebody before that.
It may have been, but the successful times were with Tannehill for sure.
Okay, so what I can glean from Vrabel is, you know, strong defense, run the football, because Derrick Henry's been the bell cow for them for quite some time over the years. I'm just wondering, is there another gear in Vrabel's game as a leader of men, as a coach, head coach? Is he a guy that is a B2C guy to you, Shay, or do you find him to be someone that can lead a team to the Super Bowl based on his qualifications?
I think he can lead a team to the Super Bowl. He got Ryan Tannehill to an AFC championship game. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, reportedly the Patriots ownership, Kraft, Bob, and his son Jonathan,
yeah,
that's their dream candidate.
That's fine. I think that makes sense to me. And besides, what did he say a couple weeks ago, Shay? He was like, you know, we got a second half to play when Tennessee was idle. When they were on their bye week and he was honored at the Patriots Ring of Honor?
Oh, yeah. He said the Patriots.
We. We got another half to play.
Well, he played there. I thought that was not the greatest thing to do as an active head coach of another team.
His quarterback his first year was Marcus Mariota. He got Tannehill his second year.
Oh, okay.
He walked in 18.
When you consider what they've had, he's been wildly successful. They're always near the top against the run defensively. They always play strong defense. And he got this team with Ryan Tannehill to an AFC title game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone 9-7, 9-7, 11-5, 12-5, 7-10 last year.
Oh.
His quarterback was banged up, and he's 3-5 this year.
So he's the Craig Counsell of the NFL.
Correct.
On his way to try to burst out to be with another ball club.
That's correct. And he was
shot then.
He was D.C. in Houston for a year before he got the head coaching job.
All right. I think that could be a shot. It depends on who it is. I think that's a shot.
Sean McVay, sign me up.
If he wants to keep coaching, yeah. The win-loss record for Vrabel lately hasn't been great, but you got to remember, Tannehill got hurt. Mm-hmm. He's dealt with Derrick Henry injuries. This year, we kind of knew what it was. Like, they weren't... Yeah, they got DeAndre Hopkins, but nobody thought they were going to be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wanted to move on from the quarterback, drafted Levis. Levis seems good. So, if he's on the move, I'm interested.
I saw those touchdowns, too, from Levis. Hang on now. Can I see it again?
He looked good in Pittsburgh. I know the result wasn't favorable, but he looked good in that road game in Pittsburgh, too.
Okay. I just want to see it for a few more games before I crown
him.
Fair. Yeah. I
mean, film gets out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I kind of like Bajent. Film got out. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Turn the ball over. Like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah. He's a backup.
Yep.
At this point in his career.
All right, Shay.
All right, Kyle Wallace of ESPN Milwaukee. We've had some fun at his expense. Had a strong take on Craig Counsell moving from Milwaukee to Chicago.
He chose the team that we hate here in Milwaukee, and that's the Chicago Cubs. And I'm telling you, this is the biggest betrayal in sports history.
The biggest betrayal in sports history.
I think he meant in Wisconsin.
Okay, well, I was going to ask about Wisconsin because I don't think it's the biggest betrayal in Wisconsin sports history. Shot or no shot? This pales in comparison to Brett Favre's departure.
That's a shot. Because they thought that Favre would be there forever. And, of course, there is no forever in sports anymore. There are no more Cal Ripkins and Tony Gwynn staying with the same team forever. They thought that he'd be then retire. They didn't think that he'd hold on to be a Jet and be a Viking. They didn't.
Yeah, I'm going to go against you here. I think it's a shot because Brett Favre was already at odds, much like Aaron Rodgers, with Packers management. He was already at odds. They offered him $25 million payment to not play anymore, and he said, no, I'm going to keep playing. And they traded him to the Jets out of spite. Then he got to Minnesota the next year where he won the MVP award. We romanticize with baseball. We all played Little League, and we grew up to it. And it's like you put on Len Casper if you're a Sox fan, or you put on Pat Hughes if you're a Cubs fan, and you're listening all summer. It's like your comfortable slippers. You're in the car, put baseball, and you fall. That's our guy. He's from Whitefish Bay. He played for our team. You're going where? The team we hate more than anything?
Yes.
Yes.
Bob Uecker also pissed this morning, I'm sure, in a canoe someplace in Wisconsin.
Correct.
Why is he in a canoe? What's he doing in a canoe?
He doesn't even live in Wisconsin in the winter, I'm sure. He's probably in Arizona.
He's in a canoe.
Wow.
That's why I picture. I like to think that Bob Uecker is in a canoe right now, pissed. That's what I like to think. That bastard left our team. Two balls and two strikes. On the hitter. I'd like to think that that's where he is right now.
I'm sure he's furious.
He's got that kind of old-timey voice. He's paddling through the Dakotas like Lewis and Clark.
I'd like to think now Craig Counsell was one of ours, and now he's gone here on WTMJ.
That bastard dead to me.
He's dead to me. I said I would like to think, Cap, that he is bitter, red-faced, and pissed.
He's pissed.
He's one of ours, and now he is gone.
He's scum.
Get up, get up, get out of here. Gone to the Cubs. I would imagine him and Bernie Brewer in a canoe together, paddling, pissed. I would like to think the mustachioed Bernie is there and just saying, I agree, Bernie. This is BS.
Love it.
Havish, Havish, and Rotier.
So good.
Also by your local sausage maker. Yes.
New Singer
Sausage.
New Singer
Sausage. Here on WTMJ on the Brewers Radio Network. Pissed. It's the solo booth. Get out.
So good. So good.
Around the NFL next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk.
but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Hey, by the way, before you hand it off to Shea, yeah. Tom Waddle is reporting.
Hold on.
Daniel Greenberg, you're going to aggregate this.
Wait,
according to Tom Waddle.
I don't think we should say that.
Should I not?
Tommy's going to get you. Don't do it.
He's got good sourcing now.
Yes.
Waddle is reporting.
No, let's not do that.
That he's on at 2 o'clock.
Okay, he could tell you at 2 o'clock. Yes.
Yeah, allegedly, Tom Waddle yes. will do his show today.
Yes.
I will not report what he texted.
Yes, he has something here that he texted us that he's got good reporting, great sourcing on now.
Yes.
He has tentacles in that organization.
Yes.
But, again, he could tell his own story from yes. 2 to 6.
Yes. Tom Brady is coming back. He'll be the Bears quarterback.
Waddle, what's the story? Why didn't you tell me, right?
Why would you give it to them first?
Damn.
I've been your right? partner for 15 years.
Right?
I think it's 16.
Waddle and Sylvie will be at House Hall today between 2 and 6. Around the NFL, brought to you by...
That would be the Marquee Sports Network. Catch the Bears and little Tommy Waddle all season long on Marquee Shea W. Norland.
All right, I got to start. Hoodie, you know I like to admit when I was wrong about something. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to start today because I was wrong.
About?
About Baltimore and Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Lamar is not putting up MVP numbers. He's not going to win the MVP. He's not going crazy statistically. But I have to tip my cap. Because he's doing exactly what Todd Monken is asking of him. He's not turning the ball over. And I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC.
Ooh, that's strong. Best team in the AFC. Wow. Well, listen, you were very strong on this in July and August because you thought they'd take a step back. It is a surprise to, I think, many that Baltimore has been this good. Wouldn't you say, Cap?
I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good. And they are not the best team in the AFC. The best team in the AFC resides in the Queen City. That would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
I knew you would go that route.
And by the way, you better see if you have any cash in your pockets from your trip yesterday, Hoodie. Anything left from your meal money you went to do the game last night. Because yeah. Shea gave a quad bomb.
Yeah.
Take your normal unit and bet it four times on the Bills the other night.
I did.
That didn't work out very well.
You see, win some, lose some.
That was
boy, if only
thing.
I knew that Dalton Kincaid was going to fumble on a would-have-been touchdown drive. The thing that made me the angriest about that game is Josh Allen played maybe the best fourth quarter he's played since that Chiefs-Bills playoff game.
Sure.
And it just didn't matter. You've got Dalton Kincaid getting flipped, suplexed on a tackle, fumbles the ball on an incredible drive from Josh Allen. And then you've got the later drive, the touchdown two-point conversion, but it's just too late. And Joe Burrow goes and ends the game.
This is a topic maybe for tomorrow. Shea, for the most part, the NFL has turned into the NBA. No one's real. I mean, very few are great in this league.
I don't think there's a great team. I really don't.
I mean, look at the league. Everybody's 5-4. So here's the thing. My partner gives out the Bengals being the best team in the AFC. Tied for second, or looking at the Bengals last, depending on how you look at it. But they're in the bottom of the AFC North, but they're tied with the Steelers and the Browns. You can't be stellar and you can't be elite when you're tied with a three-way tie for 5-3.
Their quarterback's finally healthy.
That's
he
fine.
Looks great.
You're still 5-3. You're still 5-3. And that ankle still is worrisome, as we saw in the game on Sunday night. Still worrisome. Nobody's great. Even Kansas City's lousy.
What about the Eagles? They're 8-1.
Yeah, but they just don't look great. Like, they could have easily lost to the Cowboys. You've got the controversial spot on the Jake Ferguson maybe should have been touchdown.
Yep.
You've got, there was another play, the penalty that erased a touchdown for Dallas.
Jake Ferguson was short, by the way.
I agree, but the Eagles have been on the right side of a few breaks this season. Their offense doesn't look like what it did a year ago.
God.
Golly. The Chiefs' offense just stalls out. It's unbelievable watching them.
I don't want to interrupt what you got going, but I think it's a worthy conversation. Look at this league. Just lousy across the board. Just average to me. And this smells like a wild card team to win the Super Bowl based on what I've seen so far.
That wouldn't be a shock.
All right, Jay.
I will say, Hoodie, the lack of maybe a great team could make for a really exciting playoffs. If you've got a lot of really good teams that are kind of on an even playing field, we might be spared of the divisional round blowouts that we saw last year.
This is why it increasingly looks like the Lions will be there late because of the way the season's been going.
Yeah, and could, what if the Jags get there?
Could be.
Jags are 6-2 coming off a bye playing good football.
I think the Ravens could be there. The Chargers, watch out. Winners of a couple straight. Their season's back in control. Blew out the Jets on Monday Night Football last night.
Zach Wilson is so bad. So bad.
He's a backup.
Did you see Rodgers?
Yep.
First of all, the way he strode into the stadium. No crutches, no boot. No, just strode. And then he's out there doing 3- and 5-step drops. Throwing 60 yards on a dime to the end zone. 60.
I saw it.
Do you think he's going to play this year, Cap?
If they are not, here's what my prediction is. When they are basically not going to make the playoffs, they will say, you know what, we're going to shut him down.
And he's going to extend a middle finger and say, no, I'm coming back sooner because I need to prove it to myself. That's who Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah, I don't think he plays. Unless they're in the playoff hunt.
Well, the playoff hunt part's interesting because look at their division. They're only 2 games out. Miami's 6-3. Buffalo looks bad. Like, a part that I was going to make in this is another part where I was wrong. I was wrong to buy back in on Buffalo. They're done. That window's closed.
I asked you not to in August.
I know. Hoodie, I remember. I came in after week one, and I said, close the window. They're dead. That loss to Zach Wilson after the Aaron Rodgers injury, it's over. They won me back when they blew out the Dolphins, and I never should have bought back in on this team. They do not have the juice.
I asked you not to, and then you had that gambler's gleam in your eye.
I didn't make that mistake. I learned my lesson.
I told Shay, don't do it this year. How many times are you going to be a bridesmaid? And it just, they're 5-4. It just, not saying they're out of it, but it just doesn't, they don't have that spark. They just don't, like they should, based on our personnel. Any other time, Shay would be calling for McDermott's head.
Well, you know what? Buffalo's going to start calling for McDermott's head. Because it's enough of this. No, it is. Cap, this is the reality of the NFL, man. It's not me saying it. You're going to start hearing it out of Buffalo fans.
Dude, you'd have fired Craig Counsell if you were owning the Brewers.
Well, baseball's a little different because the playoffs are such a crapshoot. I think Craig Counsell's done a nice job. But, Cap, this is the reality of the NFL. The Bills have underachieved. To have this team basically be a Super Bowl favorite each of the last 3 seasons, and they've never made an AFC title, you can't do it. And now you're 5-4. Sean McDermott might be a fine coach. Sometimes you just need to change the voice.
Okay, bring him here then. If he hits the market, I'll take him.
Yes, bring in former boss Mike Thomas to coach the Bears. All right.
Wow.
Here is Shay Norling, Shay.
God. I'll take Josh Allen as quarterback, too.
Ah, you got to bring him over, too. I love it. I mean, this league. I'll take
that fullback kid named Moore that played there. I'll take him, too.
That Texans team has got no business
being 4-4. Wasn't he a fullback, Jay Moore?
Hey.
Step out of the way. The Texans got no business being 4-4.
Hoodie, they do have business being 4-4.
For God's sake.
I will tell you why.
Colts 4-5.
You can throw the Rookie of the Year award out the window. C.J. Stroud should get MVP votes.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, it is absolutely fair. And then came the report yesterday that Scott Fitterer, the GM, wanted C.J. Stroud at 1, and the owner overruled him after the owner went down and met with Saban.
See?
In fact, I will go so far as to say, if I were an MVP voter, C.J. Stroud would be first on my ballot today.
Through 8 games.
14 touchdowns, 1 interception. Josh Allen has 9. Mahomes, I think, has 7. This guy's a rookie. He's got 1 pick.
Right.
Mahomes looked lousy last week.
The guy 5 touchdowns, a comeback victory, the Tank Dell stuff against Tampa. If I had a ballot, he's 1 on the MVP.
And guess what? His OC, Bobby Slowick Jr., he'd never called plays before. He came here, he'd be a dope with a B on his hat.
He would be. He'd been fired.
I can't believe we hired a neophyte. That's what we'd all be saying.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a neophyte with D'Amico Ryans, who's firmly in control down there. They love playing for this dude. He's beloved in the organization. They're actually making a lot of progress.
Coach of the Year candidate?
Yes.
Absolutely. He'd be the winner if the season ended today.
No. Dan Campbell would.
Well, fair.
Doug Peterson
That's fair.
Will be in that hunt as well.
Well, Doug Peterson's team was good last year. I would get D'Amico Ryan's, what he's done is remarkable with this team. I mean, they were picked to be one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
Here's Shea Norling.
And by the way, I don't buy that he'd be a dope with a B on his helmet. Sometimes I think the guys you hire are bums because you hire bums. Like, I look at it and go, did we not take a look at D'Amico Ryan's or Bobby Slowick to run this offense at any point? Did we not interview Mike McDaniel? Why are we hiring the worst guys?
Yeah, I guess the reason why we always say that is because we've got the perspective of other people sticking their beak in it and trying to, you know, muddy the waters, as we know, Cap. You can hire really good talent, hire good coaches, and all of a sudden someone else muddies the waters. I have an opinion. No, I think we should draft this person. No, I don't think we have the money for that. That's what ruins it. Like, not saying that they would be bad coaches here, but, and hopefully this has changed, but over the years, we've got, what, 30, 40, 50 years of that perspective of someone else sticking their beak in and raising their hand. I think we should do this. Let the football people football.
Yeah.
Let them do their job.
I was listening to Bears Weekly last night, and I listen to it every week because I really, really like Tom and Jeff.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best show they've ever done that I've ever heard them do. And Thayer was giving his perspective. Remember that Ditka said, I didn't want Stan Thomas. That was the late Michael McCaskey that made me draft him.
Mm-hmm.
He said we would literally be going to the line, and the defensive lineman could hear it. What's this blocking scheme? What am I supposed to do here?
Oh, no.
Didn't even know.
You know how dangerous that is? You get somebody hurt that way.
Joniak literally said, did you ever have a player not know the play? And he goes, and don't use any names. He said, yeah, Stan Thomas. I said, don't use any names. He said, no, Stan Thomas. And the defensive lineman would know right exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
Because I had to tell him. Get your playbook, kid.
Shay, can you squeeze in one more?
Yeah, very quickly. This is the coolest thing I saw over the weekend. We know the Raiders basically had a player mutiny against Josh McDaniels, and they got him out of there. After their win, they did something that I think is old school Raider that was the coolest thing I saw. They smoked out their locker room with cigars.
Yes.
That is old school Raider football. Let's get in there and bomb this locker room with Cubans. I mean, that's awesome. I loved it.
I enjoyed that as well. The cameras are in there. NFL Films is in there. And they're just, not just one guy, almost the entire team just smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Celebrating.
Sitting on the equipment boxes, just relaxing.
And just having a good time. And again, this could be fleeting, but I guess for the Raiders, for that team, they want to have a win they can rally around. They beat the Giants 30-6. Antonio Pierce, head coach?
Correct. He's the interim head coach.
Tell you what, man. I mean, again, it's just one game, but that's as good of a Raider win as I've seen in a long time. I mean, dominant the way they were.
Beat the Giants to death.
I mean, Daniel Jones gets hurt, and then here comes Danny DeVito comes in, and he came and threw
Tommy.
A forward pass. So,
huh? Tommy.
Tommy Waddle?
DeVito. Danny's kid.
Yeah, Danny DeVito. I saw him.
Tommy.
Little guy. So Danny DeVito couldn't even throw a forward pass, and he was just awful.
How does Tommy DeVito get a gig, and Josh Dobbs is out there for anybody?
This is the league, right?
Yes.
And that is our look around the NFL, and it's brought to you by
Marquee Sports Network. Catch the Bears and little Tommy Waddle all season long, and Tom Thayer as well, on Marquee.
Coming up next, Albert Breer with the latest around the NFL. We'll talk to Albert Breer coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood. You're officially locked in.
Throw your hands up in the sky.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tag you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Now, time to talk to Albert Breer from SI.com, and he's on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Albert. How are you?
Good. How you doing, guys?
We are doing fantastic. Thank you very much for asking. We haven't talked to you since the Montez Sweat news. What was your initial reaction to the acquisition by the Bears?
Yeah, my initial reaction was, sort of looking at it and saying this was a move for the next 5 years, but then obviously thinking, okay, they don't have a long-term deal figured out. And I think the obvious logic here is if it's the 35th pick in the draft, let's say, are you going to get a player of Montez Sweat's caliber at a premium position? You might, but chances are you won't. And so, like, you don't get the benefit of having the guy under cost control that you would with that pick, but you do get the player, and you know what the player is. And then it was a matter of getting him signed long-term. So the fact that they were willing to do to get that part done, I think sort of changed the context of the whole thing. And, now it makes sense that, you know, if you think Montez Sweat's good enough to be, you know, one of the five or six best players on a championship team, then, you know, makes sense to do this sort of thing, you know, especially, again, it being at one of those premium positions that's really hard to fill.
As you look at the contract that he got, there was all this outrage around town. Oh, my God, I can't believe they're this stupid. Why would Mike Lombardi, who that guy was just, he's awful. He came out and this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I would never answer the calls if I was the agent. I was told that they basically had the parameters of a deal. They knew what it would cost the day they pulled the trigger on the trade. So yeah. Now that you look at this contract, it's a fair deal, right?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, I think your concern would be you get to a situation like where Carolina is with Brian Burns, which is like you think the guy's a really good player, but you're not willing to pay him at the top of the market. And remember, it's complicated at that position too, which is part of, like, to me, the context of the whole thing also, where you're thinking to yourself, okay, so what's it going to cost to keep this guy? Is he going to ask for what Nick Bosa got? And what Nick Bosa got now is, I think, $6 million per year above the next highest paid edge rusher, which is T.J. Watt, at 28. So, like, that to me would be, like, the real concern would be, is he going to ask for the is he going to ask for the Nick Bosa deal? And, like, if he asks for the Nick Bosa deal and we're not willing to pay for it, then this thing's going to get really awkward over the next year and a half. So the fact that he didn't do that and the fact that they were able to get a deal done as quickly as they did tells me, like you said, that they had the parameters for a deal set. That changes the context of the entire thing. And look, you know, for Montez Sweat, too, the reality is at that point when you're traded, you know for a fact you're getting franchised, right? Like, there was just, if you don't sign a deal between now and the end of the year, you're going to get tagged. And so his option was to either, go to war with his new team or try to find a reasonable middle ground. And obviously they were able to do that.
Albert, how far behind are the Panthers? We see this one loss record, but as far as analyzing Bryce Young, what are they saying in Carolina about him trying to become a better quarterback and the offense becoming better?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the issue in Carolina right now is how close they thought they were. It's part of why they hired Frank Reich, and they focused on experienced candidates for that job was, you know, they felt like this in the way they played at the end of last year. And then based on the young talent they have, too, like if you look at their young core, I mean, you can go down the list of players they have there, Derek Brown and Brian Burns, obviously, like I said, and J.C. Horn and Jeremy Chin and Ike Ekwonu, and like you can really look at it and say to yourself, like, yeah, like they're pretty close. It makes sense that you put a rookie quarterback out there with this group because the group can support him and he's not going to have to score 30 points a game, and the offensive line can protect him. And so, you know, I think the hard thing about the spot Carolina's in right now is there are a lot of big picture questions to ask, you know, like how much of this is on Bryce Young, what does it say about Bryce Young's future? Do we miscalculate where we are as a team? Do we miscalculate where the roster is? What does our future look like with Frank Reich, who's over 60 years old? You know, so he is what he is right now. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of big picture questions. And, the really interesting part about it, Hoodie, is the guy who has his finger on the trigger right now, who has all the power, the owner, doesn't exactly have a reputation for patience, through his first 5 years in the league. So this thing could get interesting in a hurry if they keep playing the way they played last Sunday.
Right now, nobody's making coaching changes other than the Raiders. The Bears are not going to make an in-season coaching change, but they may at the end of the year. There's all this talk that Vrabel would go to the Patriots because that's their dream hire, and he's a Patriot. He even said us when he went up there for his Ring of Honor a few weeks ago when the Titans were on their bye. Are there other guys out there? We just saw the Cubs poach Craig Counsell from the Brewers.
All right.
I don't want some flavor of the day offensive coordinator again. I want an existing, proven guy. McVay, Vrabel. Are those guys on the move at all?
I mean, the only one that pops into my head, I mean, Vrabel potentially, and it's because they have a new general manager there in Lane Carthon. You know, like if Vrabel doesn't like the new setup, then he does have the leverage to kind of elbow his way out. You know, now the owner loves him. He does have power there. So I don't know that it's, you know, close to being at that point yet, but definitely a new setup and something to keep an eye on. You know, and the other one to me would be Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, where I don't know. I mean, and I think Mike loves Pittsburgh and loves being the Steelers coach and all of that. But, you know, if they eventually got to the point where it's like we've been together for a long time now, and does everybody want a fresh start? I mean, he's been there, like, significantly longer than Bill Cowher was now, you know? So I know last year or 2 years ago when the Raiders were, you know, going through the whole John Gruden situation and Rich Masaccio was the interim coach, there was a lot of, like, questions out there. Would the Raiders, you know, make a godfather offer to get Mike Tomlin out of Pittsburgh? Didn't wind up happening, but, you know, I do think it's something that at least got a lot of people's attention that, you know, like, could that actually be on the table? So, you know, again, like, that would, I think, be a complicated thing to pull off. But if you were looking at one where it was, like, a guy who's still relatively young, who has a ton of experience, who, you know, like maybe eventually wants to try something new, maybe it'd be Tomlin, you know, just because he was so young when he became a head coach and he's had so much success. And, you know, I think there's no question when you look at who he is as a coach, I think the success he's had will be transferable other places
too. Bring him here. More with Albert Breer next on Cap'n J-Hood.
Welcome back to Cap'n J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Chicago.
Albert Breer, SI.com, Monday morning quarterback. And if you go to SI.com, you could subscribe and get the Monday morning quarterback right to your inbox. It is awesome. It is tapped in. It is required reading for all football fans. Albert Breer is with us. So, Albert, we were talking about coaches. Do you expect, like we see in other sports, players demanding trades, more NBA-ish into the NFL, whether that's coaches or star players?
I think we've already seen it to some degree, at least, where, I mean, if you want to go back a few years, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. The problem is, Cap, is that so few players have the leverage to do it. You know, so there are guys who have done it, but in the NFL, it is, you know, the top 1%. You know, so if you're Devontae Adams, you can do it. If you're Tyreek Hill, you can do it. And even with those guys, they could do it when their contracts were at a certain juncture where it was like, okay, so we've already gotten our second contract. Those two guys in particular, we're going into a contract year. I think in Adams' case, he was up, right? And then Hill was going into a contract year. It's which way do we want to go with this? And they worked it out with their teams where they were able to dictate where they went. So, you know, quarterbacks, like, again, the top 1% of other players, like, maybe those guys can pull it off. It's really, really hard for anybody else, you know. And so I do think we have, like, some athlete empowerment in the NFL, but you really need to be on an elite level to be in position to demand anything like that.
Albert, who's good in the NFL?
That's a very very direct question, Huddy.
I mean, you see this league. I mean, I feel like this is more like the NBA than it is the NFL, in which
and kind of like Major League Baseball, we just saw the Rangers win the World Series against Arizona, not necessarily the top of the top. I wonder, will the NFL work that way when we get to the Super Bowl?
Well, what about the Eagles?
Okay.
They're good.
So I think they're – okay. Do you really think the Niners are – where they are is – like, what do you really think, like, the Niners are like the three-loss team we're looking at right now? Probably not, right?
They are not, no.
Like, once Trent Williams gets healthy, once their skill guys get healthy, they'll be back where they were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what do you think of the Bengals?
That's the team that I think is a really, really smart, astute bet right now because it's on the rise.
Tell Albert what you
and
said
they're
earlier.
5-3.
They're the best team in the AFC today for me.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, so... so here's the thing, right? So, you know, the Eagles are there, the Chiefs are there, right? And then you have these two other teams, right? So the Eagles and Chiefs won the championship game last year, and the Super Bowl last year, right? Then you have the other two teams that were in the championship games last year, and the Niners, the Bengals, and both of them were 5-3. Well, what do they have in common? They both have injuries that cause them to be there, right? Mm-hmm. So for the Niners, it's Deebo Samuel, it's Trent Williams more than anybody else. For the Bengals, obviously, it's not somebody coming off the field, but it was just only getting a percentage of Joe Burrow through the first month and a half of the season, right? I think we believe that those two teams are going to be right back where they were last year when we get to January, injury permitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you still have the four teams you had last year that I think are very much in the running. The difference, I think, now is – I think those teams are good enough. They're in a position where they can manage the season a certain way, right? So the Niners don't have to push Trent Williams back out there on the field to make the playoffs, right? The Eagles can manage their roster a certain way. The Chiefs can work out their offensive kinks, right? Like, they can get Sky Moore and Rashee Rice, their two young receivers, more work now in hopes that those guys will be better when you get to the end of the year. And when you watch these teams going through those things and managing their rosters in a certain way, you're like, oh, my God, well, what's wrong with them? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just managing their rosters because they know they're going to be there in the end. And this is what the Patriots did for a lot of years, too. Like, I remember Bill would actually openly say, like, we look at the first month of the season as an extended preseason. Well, you can't do that if you're even like a Jacksonville. You can't do that, right? Like, you can't do that. If you're Seattle, Seattle's a really good team, was in the playoffs last year. Like, there are lots of teams that don't have the margin for error to do that. Then you have a handful of teams at the top of the league that have been at the top of the league for a while now where they do have the flexibility to do it. So, you know, we're sitting here in October and November saying, what's wrong with this team? What's wrong with that team? No, they're managing their way through the season, you know? And it's not going to look great all the time because they do have that flexibility to do it. And they're taking advantage of it. And so my expectation would be the four teams that were in the championship games last year will be firing on all cylinders when we get to January. And I'd even put like a fifth team in that group as like the established teams. Like, that's Buffalo. And Buffalo has been so damaged by injuries on defense with Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White, Daquan Jones. So I can't say with the same certainty they're going to get back there the way the other five are. But I do know that they've got a really high ceiling because we saw it a few weeks ago. You know, so those would be the five teams that I think would be qualified. I think I would qualify as like really good teams, Hoodie. And then the sixth and seventh teams that I would throw in that group to just kind of keep an eye on would be Baltimore, which I think has the two best wins of the season, mm-hmm. the way they beat Detroit and Seattle, and then Jacksonville. And the Jaguars are playing really good football now, and obviously, they've got a quarterback as well that's got a really high ceiling.
Hey, we're out of time, but real quick, is Sean McDermott in trouble if they have?
I'm sorry, I only gave you guys one answer there, but that was a very broad question.
That was a probing. Would Sean McDermott be in trouble if they struggle the rest of the way?
I think there'll be an urgency in that organization if they don't make the playoffs. In the way that they treat the offseason, I'm not willing to go there yet. But I mean, let's let it play out. I do think. There will be a lot of big picture questions to be asked if they don't make the playoffs.
Is Jim Harbaugh on your phone?
No comment. But I do think.
Here we go. Some news. Here we go. Albert Breer.
Hey, guys. Honestly, like I don't understand why. I'm being like completely. I don't understand why more teams don't want him. Like I don't. Like, I know he's got a reputation for being hard to work with, but like, if I'm the Bears or the Raiders right now, I'm looking at it like, how many coaches are there that have like an identifiable style that travels with them everywhere they go? Like, his Stanford teams look like his San Francisco teams look like his Michigan teams. They all look the same, right?
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm the Bears or the Raiders right now, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, my God, I want that. You know what? We can win with that, you know? And then, you know, if you're the Bears, if you want to take it to another level, look what he did for Alex Smith in San Francisco. Alex Smith was nowhere before he got there, and he resurrected Alex Smith's career. So if I'm the Bears, I could look at that and say, this is what Justin Fields needs, you know? So I think they'd have to work out some things with the Kevin Warren, Jim Harbaugh conflict from a few years ago. But to me, he makes all the sense in the world to bring home. And I think he would view the Chicago Bears as a dream job, too, just because the same way, like, for him, Michigan was Bo Schembechler's old seat. I think to him, the Bears would be Mike Ditka's old seat, which
character
was
matters.
For him.
Hard pass if this stuff's true. Hard pass.
And I was driving the bus for him a month ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I hear all that stuff's not a big deal from certain corners. So
wow.
But you know what corners those are.
Yep.
It was the people that were previously occupying the moral high ground. So it's I think if there's one good result to come from all of this, that moral high ground has now been vacated by a lot of people with their noses in the air that might have gone to school 3 hours north of where I went.
Oh, good stuff there. How about that? Thank you so much, Albert Breer. We got something to talk about the next hour.
There you go. All right, guys.
Have a great day.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com.
On the
Tired Auto Hotline. Wow.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car accident.
He said 3 hours north of where he went. So, okay, got it.